Just to clarify, this show is now called White to See Radio. It used to be called R3 with JH, and then it was Half-Pastor Presents R3 with JH. I didn't like those names, so I went back to White to See Radio, which was the name of my original podcast back from 09 with my wife, which then became Half-Pastor Adventures. So that show is no longer White to See Radio, but the show is now White to See Radio. You're going to hear me call it R3 with JH, you're going to hear me call it Half-Pastor Presents R3, but really the show is White to See Radio, and you're going to hear this intro for a long time because I record like 35 episodes. Enjoy.
John, you're a dork.
Welcome back to another R3 on Haphazard episode. I'm your illustrious host, John, and today on the show that I am talking to you on, I'm going to talk about something that I normally don't talk about too much on my podcast or on any kind of public forum. I mean, I've tweeted out about it a couple times, but usually I kind of keep this topic close to the heart. Just because it's, I don't know, I don't talk about this because I want sympathy. I don't talk about this because I want... poor you thing. I talk about it because I think it's important to talk about. And I talk about pain and what that means and kind of how that affects my standard of living my life. So to give you all kind of a backstory, I've been a big guy my whole life. As I told you on the weight episode, I've been a big guy my whole life. I was 6'1" by the time I was, 15. I was 180 pounds at 13. I was about 220, 200, two somewhere in there, and I graduated high school, and I got up to 300 in my adult years, and then back down, and then back up, and so on and so forth. But I'm built big. I'm built big. That's all I can say. But I've had pain my whole life. When I was a kid, I had knee pain, growing pains in my knees. So when I was in like fifth, sixth grade, I had knee pain so bad that I was in tears. Right, I would be at school and I'd be running out in the playground and just be in tears and crying and go to the office and call my parents and they'd come see me or whatever. So it was so bad that I had my mom take me to the doctors a few times for my knees and like, oh no, it's just growing pain. I'm like, guys, it feels like someone stabbed me in the knees. And it was just growing pains. I had them really bad. I grew out of that. Growing up, I didn't always have a bad back. I had a strong back. I had a strong back for a while. I was able to do a lot of stuff. Nobody had hurt my back, and it would be sore, and it would hurt for a little while, then it'd be fine, and then it would hurt, and then it'd be fine, nothing big. But then, I just had to be careful, because my sister has a bad back, and, back pain runs in my family, just because I've not built very well, or whatever. So I always try to be careful, but, I have kids, and I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, not quite sure on the time. I'm a big believer in, roughhousing and wrestling and playing with your kids. I've always enjoyed doing that. I get down on the floor and wrestle around with my kids and we do this thing where I lay on my back and I use them as a bench press, weights, and I bench press them. We count and I've taught all my kids how to count by bench pressing them. Or we do push-ups together or we roll around or we do silly things, and it's just kind of what I've always done. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing that with my daughters at my parents' house. And, they always, walk on my back or crawl over my back. And I had both of them on, standing on my back, which at the time, I think they were, 4 and 1, so not very heavy or not very big, And they were both on my back, and they slipped. They fell. And both their butts landed on my lower back. And it popped. And it really hurt. And I ended up having to go to the doctor for it, and they, gave me some muscle relaxers and some pain medicine, and I was pretty much in a chair or in a bed for about 2 weeks. I had to convince my work to let me work from home, work remote. This is back when I had first started my job, so I'd only been there for, I've been there for a couple of years, but, you know, I had to convince them to say, hey, I can't come in. I need to work remote during this. I can't get up and either need to take PTO or I need to work remote. And I have too much stuff to take 2 weeks of PTO and not do any work. So I worked remote and I kind of just stayed at my parents' house and then at my house back and forth in a chair in the bed, just working from there. And it was in tons of pain from my back. And then after about 2 weeks or so, it started getting better and then it got better and it was fine. And then fast forward a couple of months, it got hurt. You know, I got hurt again. Not quite as bad, just a little sore. And fast forward about a year, I was just about 13 months later, I was getting up in the morning to get up and go to work. And Kaylee was getting up with me. And we were getting up to get in the shower. And I was heading to the bathroom. And I sneezed. And I sneezed 3 times in a row. And this is why if you ever see me about to sneeze out in public or if you know me personally, I'm always very cautious with sneezing. And I always kind of lift my left leg now and kind of get into a certain position when I sneeze. Because I sneezed 3 times in a row and I collapsed. And basically I had sneezed and the sneeze was so jolting to my back that it completely blew out a disc in my back. And I collapsed on the bed and I couldn't move. I had to have Kaylee put me back in the bed and rest up. And then I had to call out of work that day and then went to my doctor and they looked it over and said, you know, looking by the way, I couldn't stand up straight. I was using a cane. Like it was instantly went from I can walk to I can't walk pretty much. I was in a cane, had to go through the whole questions of, have you shit yourself or do you feel weak? And they tested weakness. And I had lost at the time when this happened within the span of a couple of days, I had lost about 40% strength in my left leg from blowing that disc out because it blew it out and was just crushing the nerve on the left side. And so I went to my doctor and they gave me, you know, muscle relaxers and some pain medicine like they do. And then she goes, I can't help you. You know, you need to, I would put you in PT, but given the level of injury you have here, PT is not going to help you. So I got let's get you an MRI and some x-rays and CAT scans. So I got the MRI, got the CAT scan not a CAT scan. That's not right. MRI, just MRI and x-rays. And, you know, looked it over. She goes, you know, PT is not going to help you. This is too far gone. We need to get you over to a specialist. So they sent me to Seattle to a pain specialist. And I got in to go see him. Now, funny side story, the whole thing, this whole time. So throughout our whole relationship, Kaylee's had, you know, some back issues from a car accident and stuff like that. And she thought I was just kind of overreacting from this, which is, I mean, I get it, but it was kind of funny. But it wasn't until after this that she's like, oh, maybe you are in pain. I was like, ha, yes, I am. Ouch, it hurts. So, you know, we go to the specialist in Seattle in Swedish, and we go in and we talk, and he comes in, he looks at me, and he goes, can you get up? And I'm like, and I have a cane. And I'm like, yeah, I can get up. So I get up, I stand up, and I can't stand up straight. He's like, can you stand up straight? And I'm like, not really. And he sees me walk, and he's like, I take like 3 or 4 steps. He's like, go ahead and sit back down. And he's just like, I can't help you. I help manage pain. Your back's broken essentially, and no amount of pain management is going to help you get through this. He goes, let me make a call. So he calls a surgeon, a surgeon he knows, a friend of his, and says, hey, I got a guy here that really needs to see you, and can you work him in today? So he, you know, the pain doctor, who was funny enough that it was a doctor that Kaylee had seen before, who was a total dick to her, but he was super, I mean, he was great for me, but it was kind of odd because he was totally an asshole to Kaylee, but it was completely different for me. So I wonder if it was a male, female thing or a boy, girl thing. I don't know. Anyways, he called the surgeon. The surgeon worked me in. We waited around in Seattle and went and saw the surgeon next. Now, mind you, this doctor, the first doctor, the pain management doctor, just to kind of tell you how far gone my back was and how much pain I was in. He had, first thing he says to you is, I don't prescribe pain medicine on the first visit. You sign a thing saying you're not asking for pain medicine on the first visit. First visit is just an assessment. But that appointment ended with him saying, hey, do you have enough pain medicine to last you a couple of weeks? And I was like, no, I don't. Because at the time I couldn't move without it. And he goes, here, let me give you this. And he wrote me a prescription, which I was like, oh shit. He's like, this is not normal, but you need to have enough pain medicine to sleep and survive until you can get some relief. And I'm like, well, I appreciate that. Now, mind you, I'm a big proponent of taking medicine that's prescribed to you as needed, as the doctor warrants it to you. But I'm also a big proponent of I don't like to take medicine. I don't like to be reliant on medication to do anything. However, at this time of my life, this is, 6 years ago, I couldn't stand up or walk without the muscle relaxers and, some light pain medication and Tylenol and stuff. I couldn't stand up straight. I couldn't walk around. It was just too much fucking pain. So anyway, I went and saw the surgeon. He did an assessment on me. He looked over my MRI and he was like, yeah, you have a disc blown out. And he's like, show me this MRI. He explained it to me. He's like, yeah, right here where the nerve's supposed to be, you can't even see it because it's being crushed so much by this nerve or by this disc bulge here. And he explained all that to me. And he's also like, you're overweight, so the weight's a factor, and weight's always a factor for me. I need to lose weight. I know this. I know if I lost weight, I'd be in less pain. It's not. I'll get to that more later. It's not that easy. But so he gets on it and he looks at it and he goes, okay, well, we need to get you in for a surgery. This is on like a Monday. And he goes, how does Thursday sound? I'm like, you mean this Thursday? He's like, yeah, we need to get you in as soon as possible. And I was like, okay, Thursday's fine. I'll work it out with my job, because I wasn't going to work at that time. I was out on leave or on just working remote or on PT. I can't remember. So yeah, it's got it for Thursday. He calls me on Wednesday night and he's like, hey, we have an emergency surgery for tomorrow. With the medicine you have and with yourself relaxing, can you hold out till Monday? And I was like, yeah, I can hold out till Monday. That's fine. I can make do. So I held out. It ended up being the following Monday, but really it was basically from time of injury to time of surgery was about 2 weeks and or 2.5 weeks. And, it was pretty painful because between the time of, actually, you know what? I wasn't on PTO. I was working. So I had taken the PTO the day that it happened, but at the time of my job, I was so afraid of getting let go because I wasn't there just because of what I was doing, who I was working with and working for. I made it a point to go to the office every day that I could and only miss the days of my appointments. That's what it was a long time ago. So I was going in every day besides the first day I heard it and besides the day of my appointment. So I was going in with a cane and hobbling around, and probably really shouldn't have been there. I wasn't driving in. I was getting rides in from people, but I probably 100% should not have been going to the office, but I did. Anyways, it was about 2.5, maybe I think at the most 3 weeks from time of injury to time of surgery. And, I went in, had my surgery, the doctor came out, and it was a success, well, for the time. It's about a couple hour surgery. I was under on my back. I got about a 2-inch scar on my lower back from it. And, doctor came in, saw me. He told me I was good to go home, but if I didn't want to, and I was like, well, I'm not comfortable trying to walk around. I'd like to stay. So I stayed the one night and then did all the exercises in the hospital and went home the next day and went home and relaxed in my bed. I had put a bed in our guest room downstairs and a TV, and I was just sleeping on the, I slept on there for a week or two before I tried going up the stairs. And, it was fine. After about a month of recovery, I was good. I was solid. I was good for about 4 years. And for four years my back was good. About every 8 months I'd have a reoccurrence. I'd go to the doctor and they would give me some muscle relaxers, some Robaxin, which is like my godsend, and look me over to make sure nothing was broken. But besides that I did good. And then about 4 years later I did something else and I was broken again. I can't remember what I did the second time off the top of my head right now, but about 4 years later, I was broken again. And on that, before I tell you the next story, I'm going to take a quick pause. All right, I'm back. Sorry for that. Well, I wasn't saying sorry for that long pause, but I know for you that wasn't a very long pause, but for me, it was a couple of days between when I last spoke to you a second or a minute ago or whatever, however long ago that was, depending on if I put anything in between this cut and right now. So this is the episode. I don't know why I'm telling you this episode about pain. You already know that. I didn't mention this before, but I don't know. If you're hearing this, that means I decided to post this, but I do have apprehensions about posting this episode just because it does kind of dive into some personal stuff that, not that I don't talk about, but I don't usually talk about publicly. I tweet about it sometimes, but not, I don't really go into too many details on it. If I know you personally, I'll talk about it and I'll kind of give some ideas on it and thoughts about it. But I don't really sit and wax poetic about the pain that I go through, and I don't like to. I don't want to dwell on it, but it's there. So I think And without listening back to it, I left off after my first back surgery and kind of where that went. So as I was saying, you know, I'm sure I said this once already, but, you know, I got the first back surgery worked pretty well about 4 years. You know, about every 8 months or so, I'd have a flare-up like I mentioned, and it was fine. But then fast forward to, you know, about 4 years later, about 2017 it was, I think December 2017. But before that, so it was April of 2017 when I moved. I moved into a house and I overdid it. I popped my back pretty much. And from that moment forward, from April of that year to, I think it was December when I had my surgery, I was in just a ton of pain again. You know, I wasn't quite back to where I was pre the first surgery. You know, I wasn't doubling over crying. I wasn't using a cane, you know, but I was in a lot of pain and it hurt a ton. So, I mean, it was not fun. And I ended up, you know, meeting my surgeon again, having another MRI, and funny story there. So I remember the first time through my first surgery, I had MRIs and they were fine. You know, I didn't need anything for them, you know, any like psych meds or not psych meds, but like value. I guess this is a psych med, but any meds to calm me down. It was fine. Just lay in the tube and they sucked me in there and it was fine. But when I went to go get my first MRI the second time around, like I had developed some really hella bad anxiety for tight spaces and that kind of stuff. And I went to get my first MRI and they put me in the tube they said, oh, all right, how you doing? You know, do you need, I was like, oh, no, I don't need anything for this. And, the guy's like, I get in there and I was like, man, I'm not feeling too good about this by going in that tube. And to be fair, between the first surgery and this surgery, I put on a little bit of weight. It's a little bit of big, but I'm like, not, I don't know, like 20 pounds more, not a ton. So it doesn't really make a difference. I'm already a big guy. I'm already as big as the tube pretty much. And so he's like, well, if you're, you know, we do this thing where you just close your eyes, I'll put a washcloth over your eyes. So if you open them, you don't really see anything. You don't see how close the thing is to you. So it kind of helps. But okay, that's fine. So they put it all on and I go into the tube and I made the mistake of moving my fingers out. And I realized that my shoulders and my fingers are like right on the tube. And I start panicking, me like, man, if something goes wrong and I have to get out of this, I can't wiggle out of this thing. Like, I am not going to be able to get out without them pulling me out. This machine breaks. I am fucked in here. And I open my eyes and I can see the washcloth on my eyes. And I'm like, this is too tight. And I pushed a button. I was like, hey, man, pull me out. I'm having a hard time. I started having a panic attack, like a pretty bad one. Not bad as in like, I don't know. Well, it was only a bad one, but when I have a panic attack, it's silent and I just kind of freak out in my head. And, he pulled me out and I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm after reason. He's like, yeah, it's fine. It happens. You know, he was kind of irritated, but it's whatever. So I go back and they give me, the doctor's like, hey, you know, well, let's try it again. I'll give you some Valium or some Valium. I think it was not Valium. I don't know. Some medicine to calm me down. I can't remember what it was. And so I take that and I'm calm. And then I freaked out again. And I was like, is there like a bigger machine you can go into that's not right around right in my face? And so they ended up saying, well, we have, if you go drive a little further, there's an open side machine. I was like, oh, I'll do that. An open side machine sounds great. So just the ability to have my arms open. I mean, everything else about this open side machine was the same, you know, like the distance from my face to the ceiling was fine. But just the fact that I was able to have my arms not like tied to my body and open, it was the change. I was still a little anxious for it, but you know, I took the medicine and the Valium or Xanax or whatever the hell it was they gave me. I can't remember. And I, you know, just did it and it was fine. I looked at it and he pulls up the MRI at the doctor's office. He's like, hey, well, looking at this again, it's protruded again. You know, the nerve is now crushed again. That's why you're having the pain. So it's like, my recommendation is that we do the surgery again. You know, it is what it is. It's success rate percentage wise the same as the first one. On a second surgery, we're going to the same place and kind of doing the same thing. I was like, let's do it. So we did the surgery, and right after the surgery, I was in a ton of pain. I was like, man. And again, he was like, you can go home. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to stay. I don't feel comfortable going home right after a back surgery. It's a minor back surgery, I know, but I didn't feel comfortable going home. So I waited the next day. And, you know, the first day I got up and I walked around with the walker they gave me and I did my stuff. And I was like, man, I feel amazing. And he came in and I'm like, he's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel great. I don't feel any pain. I mean, I'm not even using the button. I'm not using the medicine. I mean, I'm taking the medicine, but barely, because you give me, you know, after a surgery, you get pain medicine. Like, I'm taking it when they give it to me, but, you know, I'm not needing anything more. I remember the first time I had surgery, I had the little button, the little happy button, and I was pushing that thing all the time until I could leave, until they took it away, because it was like every time I didn't push it, it fucking hurt. But this time, I was like, I felt great that first day. I was like, man, this is amazing. I went home and I was able to, I mean, the first time, my first surgery, you know, I couldn't walk up the stairs the first, like, week. This time I got home and I was able to walk right up the stairs and go to the bed and relax. I was like, man, this is great. And then after like 2 days, I was like, oh, nope, it fucking hurts again. And I went and made an appointment and he's like, let's do another MRI. So I went and this time I was able to go to an upright MRI, which is really a lot easier. You just sit in the thing and it pulls you back and you can see in front of you and you just watch a movie and they do MRIs, which is awesome. They take longer, but you just, I mean, you have headphones on, you watch movies, and it's fucking great. So I did that and he looks at the MRI and he goes, yeah, unfortunately it's re-herniated and it sometimes this happens over years or sometimes this happens immediately and there's nothing we can do about it. He goes, your options are we can put you through a third surgery. However, if we do a third surgery, your risk of permanent damage to your leg and to your back, and it's in the risk of, you know, paralysis or just, you know, risk of being fucked up for life, jumps from about 5% chance from the first two surgeries to a 30% chance because we're going in a third time to the same place. So really think about this. It's like, I'm willing to do it if you want to do it, but the choice is completely up to yours. You have your choices to surgery again, or you can go the PT route, or you can live with it. And he's like, there's not really much more beyond that I can do for you. I was like, okay, let me think about it. So I thought about it, and it's a tough choice, you know, being in that much pain. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try some things. I called him back, and I was like, you know, I don't want to risk the third surgery now. And he goes, well, I understand that. If you ever decide you want to go the surgical option again, you know, give me a call, and we can discuss that and make a plan from there. I was like, okay. So I chose the route of just kind of adjusting my diet, adjusting what I do and how I function things. I'm not the best at dieting. I like food. I like ice cream. I like candy. I'm horrible. I like soda. Although, side note, right now I'm not drinking soda. I've been doing pretty good about not drinking soda. I've adjusted myself to drinking water more, which is great. But back then I was not that good at that. I drank a lot of soda. So I just decided I didn't want to be surgical and I wanted to try and work things out. And, you know, it did good for a little while and then it was doing fine. And then I took a plane trip down to San Francisco for work last year in 2018. And my back hurt in San Diego and I was walking around. I was like, okay, this is fine. You know, I had, you know, Tylenol and ibuprofen. And I had the Robaxin muscle relaxer with me. You know, that's fine. And I was taking it. And, you know, I was having fun. And it hurt, like walking around San Francisco for work hurt. And I saw Metallica because they were playing the show, the convention thing the trade show that I was at. And, you know, everything, every day hurt more when I was there. So much so that by the time that I left, I ended up heading to the airport like 10 hours earlier for my flight. And I was like, I got there and I was like, hey, I can barely stand up. Can you move me to an earlier flight, please? And the lady was able to move me up to a flight 8 hours earlier. And I ended up, you know, getting on that flight. The downside was I was in the very, very back of the plane on the far right corner, you know, next to a couple who didn't from Eastern Europe who did not speak English and their newborn baby. But it was fine. It was whatever. She's able to get me on the flight earlier so I can get home. I was in pain, but usually when I sit down and just kind of stay still, it's okay. So I was in the back corner by the window and I just put headphones on and I watched Central Intelligence with The Rock and Kevin Hart and just kind of sat there and chilled. Actually, wait, no. I watched Ready Player One, which was good. But I just sat there and chilled, and like the more the flight went on, the more pain I started getting into. My back was hurting, my leg was hurting really bad, and so much so that by the last like 30 minutes of the flight, I was just kind of like trying to move my leg and it wasn't really working very well, my left leg. And I was kind of like rocking back and forth, writhing in pain. It was just, I was hurting a lot. And so I was the last one to get off the plane. Everybody else gets off and I try to get up and I couldn't stand up. And I couldn't. And I had to call the flight attendant. I was like, I hate, I, It's like, I hate to be this, but I can't walk. I can't move. And they're like, what? I'm like, I can't get up. I can't walk on my leg. I need a wheelchair. And I've dreaded the moment of having to ask for a wheelchair for my back or for me in general. Cause I'm always like, I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm not a super big guy, but I'm a big guy. And I don't want to be like, oh, look at the fat guy in the wheelchair. I'm very self-conscious about that. I'm aware of what I am and who I am and what I look like and how much I weigh and stuff. But I just don't want people to judge me because, you know, even if I'm in a wheelchair for my back pain legitimately because my back is fucking broken, they're just going to say, oh, look at that fat guy. You know, and that frustrates me. Anyways, so I call them over. I'm like, hey, I can't walk. I need a wheelchair. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay. So they call one. Then they come back and like, hey, we got one on our way. It's going to be about 10, 15 minutes before he gets here. But they can't get the wheelchair through the aisle. So can you get to the front of the plane? And I'm like, how the fuck do you expect me to get to the front of the plane? I can't walk. And I was like, I'll do my best. So I ended up basically kind of like using one leg, my right leg, to kind of like save myself and using my arms across the top of the chairs, kind of like army crawl myself across to the front. I asked them to bring my bag up. And like the shitty part was once I was up, like I couldn't sit down back down. So I couldn't find a position to not just hurt. And it was just like this excruciating pain going down my leg and my back. And I kept trying to, I would sit down, but like, nope, can't sit down. I'd stand up and hurt. And I'd like stand in some weird leaning position where I was leaning across everything. Then finally they got the wheelchair. Then I sat in the wheelchair and it fucking hurt the entire night. I felt bad because it was just like this lady who was probably like 5'4", barely spoke English, like pushing me. And I'm like, I apologized to her probably 1,000 times in there. And I was like, hey, I need to go get my bag from luggage and then call an Uber. I called a Lyft or an Uber, whatever. I think it was a Lyft. And I was like, I need to go to the Lyft area. And they get me out there and they took me there. And we got there and the guy who was the guy who was driving the Uber was super cool, or the Lyft. And he was like, I get there and I'm like, hey man, I can't walk. I'm hurting. Can you throw my shit in the back of your car and let's go? He's like, yeah, man, no problem. So sorry. I get in the car and I'm talking to him. I was like, hey, I'm not going to buckle, so I can't sit straight. So I'm going to be making some weird noises back here because this hurts. Now, obviously, I'm saying this all like writhing in pain, like in between breaths and stuff. But, you know, essentially, I was like, hey, I'm not going to be able to buckle. This sucks. I'm so sorry. He did a good job. Like he kept talking to me. I'm like, hey, man, and he was just talking. How you doing? And stuff. And the guy was great. And I was like, yeah, this fucking sucks, man. I'm sorry. And it was like a 45-minute drive from the airport to my house. Mind you, I hadn't told my wife that I was coming home yet. My whole thing was I was going to surprise her. I never told her that I was coming home. And I kept thinking, it's going to get better. And this pain's going to go away. And I'll be able to surprise her. And be like, oh, John's home. Yay. So I get I get to the house. And I find the guy pulls up there. I text him like, hey, come outside. And I told the guy, like, hey, man, I hate to do this. But can you grab my bag and my suitcase and just put it on the porch? I'll have one of my sons get it. He's like, yeah, no problem. So he did that. And I kind of like, we had, at the time of the house we were living in, had this porch with like a little like railing on it. So I used that and I kind of just waddled in and opened the door and kind of collapsed into the couch, side of the couch. And I'm like, babe, I can't walk. I can't fucking walk. Like crying and in so much pain. And she was like, oh my God, you're home. I'm like, yeah, I can't walk. Get me to the bed. So she pulled me back and got me to the bed. And, the whole time I'm like trying, I could barely fucking walk. I mean, I couldn't really walk. It just hurt too bad. I just forced it and I fell on the bed. And then we ended up being like, you know, what the fuck do we do? So I took just whatever I could to try and make myself pass out, from the pain. And I don't know if you've seen it in movies or whatever, ever, if you've been there yourself, when you hurt so bad that you just make noises and swear. And I would just be sitting there all of a sudden, like, oh, fuck, you know, and like, and just grunting. And it hurt so bad. Like, that is the worst pain I'd ever been in my entire life. And I couldn't walk for 2 fucking days. And for 2 days, I was in that bed. And I think I was able to get up to go pee on like the second day. But before that, like, not ashamed, but it's kind of embarrassing. You know, I had to pee. I was like, babe, bring me a bottle. I can't get up. And I had to pee in a bottle. And that's how fucking bad it was. And, you know, I don't want to dwell on that too much because it makes me sad to think about that happening. I don't ever want that to fucking happen again, which means I'm super careful when I fly and do anything now with my back. But, you know, I ended up going to the doctor later on and she fucking yelled at me for doing that because she's like, if you can't walk, go to the ER. I'm like, well, I was just kind of, she's like, no, shut up. Go to the ER. Something could have been seriously wrong. She's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, she's like, I don't know if surgery is a good option for you, but let's see some options here. I'm like, okay, so like, let's get another MRI. So I had to go down that route again. And I was like, she's like, are you open to PT? And I'm like, I'm open to anything. I've done PT before. It doesn't always work, but let's do PT again. So I got into PT with a great physical therapist that actually really, really, really helped. And I've done PT for about the last year. Little breaks here and there for work and stuff, but mostly for the last year. And while I still hurt a lot and I still hurt, often, I'm in a better place as far as, moving forward. I mean, I hurt a lot. I'm afraid of sneezing. Given, the story I told you earlier about sneezing and, losing my fucking shit and collapsing. But, I've dealt ways around it. I think my biggest downfall, and I'll say this openly, my biggest downfall is I'm overweight, right? If I lost weight, if I could lose like 40, 50 pounds, I would probably, not hurt nearly as much, because carrying all the extra weight definitely causes more strain on my back, regardless, and when I was thinner between surgeries, when I was about 30, 40 pounds down, I felt a ton better. So I'm working on that now. I've changed my diet. I've started exercising. It's hopefully someday in the future, I can give an update to this. Like, hey, I'm pain free, or I'm mostly pain free. But I try to do things not the medicine route. I mean, obviously I have to take medicine to even function, ibuprofen for inflammation. I take Robaxin for muscle relaxation because my back likes to seize up and not fucking release on me. But I try to do things the best way I can. And I guess the whole point of this episode is to know that, if you're living in pain, I'm sorry. I know what you feel like. It sucks. I've been living in pain for the past 7 to 10 years. And, there's options out there. But ultimately, you've got to do what's best for you, And I can see why people turn to drugs, hard drugs for pain, because it fucking sucks, man. Being in so much pain, you want to cry and can't talk, really, really sucks. So, I don't know. Take from this what you will. If I ended up posting this, cool. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully this was educational or helpful. Hopefully you enjoyed hearing about me being in pain. If you like me being in pain, I'm sorry. That's kind of rude. But, if you didn't like this, sorry. But it is what it is. So thanks for listening. We're Haphazard Adventures. This is R3 and Haphazard. Check us out everywhere. If you want to tweet at us, HapHadPod on Twitter and on Instagram. Or if you want to tweet to me and talk to me about how stupid I am for having back problems, just at Y2CL. And it's 2 in the morning right now. I'm going to go inside and I'm going to go to bed. Good night. Godspeed.
tears in the night, holding hands and breaking bones. Can't see the darkness for the light. Angry shadows in your face, spite that high.